friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying Joshua, Courageous Discipleship, and this is Appendix 2, The Peoples of Canaan. If you were to go to a large American city 50 years ago, you'd be able to find the sections where the Irish lived, as well as the Italians, Polish, Chinese, and Jews. The Midwest has towns settled by Swedes, Norwegians, and Germans. Within their own communities, they would speak their own languages or dialects, but might communicate with each other by a sort of pidgin English. Gradually, over a period of generations, they are assimilated into one people, though you can still detect regional differences. Palestine, or Canaan, is a natural highway between Asia and Africa. The Arabian Desert on the east makes Palestine's roads the natural travel routes for armies as well as migrating peoples. When God sent the Israelites to the Promised Land, the land was lived in by a number of peoples who had migrated there from other locations. Joshua 3:10. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. Just who were the peoples that were displaced to give the Promised Land to the Israelites? What do we know about them? There are several passages which provide clues to their locations. One is in Numbers 13:29. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Joshua 11:3 says, "The Canaanites in the east and west, to the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, and Jebusites in the hill country, and to the Hivites below Hermon in the region of Mizpah." While Joshua defeated many of the kings of these peoples, they were not entirely destroyed, as this reference from Solomon's time 300 years later indicates. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. All the people left from the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, these people were not Israelites, that is, their descendants remaining in the land, whom the Israelites had not destroyed, these Solomon conscripted for his slave labor force, as it is to this day. How are we to think of these people? Canaan at the time of the conquest was inhabited by peoples from various ethnic backgrounds, each area typically having allegiance to the king of a city-state. Some kings were stronger, and they might have alliances with kings of neighboring areas. We look in vain to make hard and fast geographical distinctions between these seven peoples. They were fairly mixed by the time Joshua reached Canaan. The Amorites and Jebusites both inhabited Jerusalem, even though it was considered a Jebusite city. Sometimes the terms Amorite and Canaanite were with reference to a particular race. Other times they are used more generally to refer to several related peoples. Below you can see some of my notes on these various peoples mentioned in the book of Joshua. First, the Canaanites. The Canaanites apparently lived along the coast and along the Jordan during Joshua's time. However, the term Canaanite is often used collectively of all the inhabitants of Canaan, regardless of racial origin. It is used specifically in Joshua 5:1 to refer to the coastal peoples, all the Canaanite kings along the coast, as well as those who lived along the Jordan. For example, Genesis 36:2 speaks of the Canaanite wives of Esau, which included a Hittite, a Hivite, later Horite, and an Ishmaelite. However, despite the broad diversity of the origins of the people who inhabited Canaan, we can speak of a Canaanite culture. Cultural identity included language, religion, political forms, legal institutions, architecture, and domestic arts. Groups that arrived in Canaan with different customs, like the Philistines, were soon drawn into the dominant culture while adding to it their own special contributions. This was the danger for the Israelites, too, to adapt to the culture and lose their uniqueness as the people of the one God. Hittites. The Hittites developed a powerful empire in East Central Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, from about 2000 BC on. By 1600, King Hattusilus I extended his sphere of influence into North Syria, 100 or 200 years prior to Joshua's conquest of Canaan. By 1560, the Hittites were strong enough to raid Babylon, but their influence and power was waning by about 1200 BC when the capital of Hattusas was destroyed by invaders from the west. We know quite a bit about the Hittites due to the discovery of inscriptions in North Syria. Apparently, some members of this group lived in the hill country. Several centuries later, Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men, and first husband of Bathsheba, was apparently from around Jerusalem. Hivites. The name of this nation appears 25 times in the Bible as a people living west of the Jordan. Hivites are mentioned in Gibeon, in Shechem, and in the north. In Judges 3:3, they are on Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath. Most scholars assume that the Hivites and the Horites were the same nation. The name does not occur later than David's time. The name may have developed from the word for tent village. The city of Gibeon, that had deceived the Israelites into thinking they were a faraway tribe, was also a Hivite city. Now, the Perizzites. The Perizzites had lived in Canaan since the patriarchs. We know little about this specific people. They do not occur in extra-biblical literature, and in the Bible they are not mentioned specifically, but along with other Canaanite groups who lived in the hill country of northern Canaan. In Abraham's day, they appear to have lived around Bethel. When Jacob's family lived outside of Shechem, he was concerned about danger from the Perizzites that lived in that area. In Joshua's time, they may have lived in the forested parts of the hill country of Ephraim. If you were so numerous, Joshua answered, and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear the land for yourselves, there in the land of the Perizzites and Rephaites. The name may come from the Hebrew word for rural country or rustic, thus maybe the Perizzites are villagers. Some scholars see them as a subgroup of either the Amorites or the Hurrians. Girgashites. The Girgashites are mentioned only 5 times in the Old Testament and only in lists with other inhabitants of Canaan. The name Girgash has been linked with personal names found in Punic texts and in Ugaritic, suggesting that the tribe may be related to the Phoenicians who lived on the coast of Lebanon. Amorites, not to be confused with the Ammonites, live primarily east of the Jordan River. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Heshbon was one of Israel's early conquests. Og, king of Bashan, was also mentioned as an Amorite king. Their lands east of Jordan became the inheritance of the Israelite tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Numbers 13:29 indicates that the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along Jordan. But the hills mentioned refer to the mountains east of Jordan. The trouncing of the Amorites is retold in Deuteronomy 1:44. The Amorites also lived west of the Jordan. Ai, conquered after Jericho, was an Amorite city. Other Amorite populations attacked Israel's vassal, Gibeon, in Joshua 10:5. It says, then the 5 kings of the Amorites, the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon, joined forces. They moved up with all their troops and took positions against Gibeon and attacked it. These are the hill country cities in the southern part of Palestine, later occupied by the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. Amorites also lived in Aphek in the plain of Sharon. The Amorites living in Canaan, however, were just part of a great nomadic people that had appeared in Mesopotamia at the time of Sargon I, considered barbarians by the civilized Sumerians. They ruled in Babylon and other Mesopotamian cities for about 200 years, from 960 BC until Babylon was sacked by the Hittites in 1531. From their language, they are considered of Semitic stock, with a few Indo-Aryan elements. Jebusites. The term Jebusites referred to a group living in the uplands of Canaan near Jerusalem. Jerusalem is referred to as a Jebusite city, though the king of Jerusalem is elsewhere referred to as an Amorite king. The area they dwelt in was inhabited by the tribe of Benjamin. Even though Jerusalem was defeated by Joshua, the Jebusites were not fully dislodged. Later, King David conquered Jerusalem and made it his capital. What eventually became the Temple Mount was then the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. David purchased the area from Araunah the Jebusite for a place of sacrifice to atone for his sin. Philistines. The land of the Philistines was listed among the seven nations the Israelites were to drive out, but they are mentioned as the unconquered peoples. Joshua 13:2-3. This is the land that remains. All the regions of the Philistines and Gershurites, from the Sihor River on the east of Egypt to the territory of Ekron on the north, all of it counted as Canaanite, the territory of the five Philistine rulers in Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, that of the Avites. The reference to Canaanites who dwell in the plain probably is to the Philistines also, since they had chariots of iron. The name Peliset, which translates Philistia, is also the origin of our word Palestine. We read of Abraham's dealings with the Philistine king Abimelech. The Philistines who occupied Gaza, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron were probably part of a migration from the Aegean Greek area, and pottery found in Philistine sites bears similarities to Mycenaean pottery. Their coming was probably part of a general migration caused by military or socio-economic events in the Aegean and eastern Mediterranean areas shortly after 1200 BC. The Philistines probably settled along the coast, perhaps from Crete, in a similar time frame as when the Israelites were conquering the Jordan Valley.